Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather like this. Thank you because your hand is upon us. Thank you because your hand is upon our lives. Thank you, O God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for this gathering tonight. Thank you because our eyes see as they should again. Thank you because our ears hear. Thank you because our hearts are receptive. Position and aligned to receive. We refuse rebellion. Rather, as obedient children of the faith, we submit our minds, our hearts, and ourselves to your will, to your word. Thank you because your power is present here, evidently. Thank you because it drives out every sickness and disease and infirmity. Thank you because it drives out every pain in the name of Jesus. Thank you, O God, because same power edifies us and touches our hearts, our lives, changes and transforms us. Thank you because we fellowship with the potency of your word. Thank you, O God. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you because your hand is on us. We give you praise in Jesus' name and amen. Hallelujah. All right, greet 5 people before you take your seat. Glory to God. Amen. Can I have a seat? Hallelujah. Praise God. Say the hand of God is upon me. It's upon my life. It's upon my family. It's upon my church. It's upon everything that concerns me. I see his hand upon me. I see his hand in my situations, in my circumstances. I see his hand. Therefore, I expect miracles. I expect interventions by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You know, our Father keeps us, right? Our Father is a good Father, a good one. So he knows how to be a father. He's the best. Glory to God. So he takes care of his own. I'm his own, right?
Yes, sir.
I belong to him. Hallelujah. He pleased himself in his son to dwell in me. I belong to him. He is mine. I'm his. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he takes care of me. He takes care of me. I'm his own. He takes care of me. Hallelujah. My God is my Father, and he's a good Father. I have a good Father. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Wow. Okay. We'll make do with the time left. Praise God. The Lord's house. Sorry. The house of the Lord is the same thing, but the house of the Lord. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 2. Or verses 1 and 2. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk
in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Amen, amen. Okay, so we have been able to see certain things here, right? Okay, let's go the usual route. The house of the Lord. Okay, and the key words that we have seen here to help us understand, and the first one is the last days. And I believe you understand that now, right? The last days is not because, yes, the number of days eventually matter, but the issue is the activity that goes on within those days. So when it says the last days, it's not the way we think. Imagine there's something you have to register for and you don't have the money for it, and then they say it will close, how do we say it now? Let's say it will close October, right? And then someone says that we're in the last days of the registration. Say, what? Last days how? Right? October is still far. I say last days, we are talking about September 30, right? Or if it's last day of October, you're referring to October, 28. Last days, right? But the issue is the activity, like we described before, okay? The activity that began and ought to be concluded within a particular space of time, okay? The last of the activities is why those days are called the last days. Amen? Praise God. Okay? So God has a plan in the earth. We have been able to go to Genesis chapter 2 and look at, those verses very well, particularly from verse 7 all the way down. So it means that Moses spoke about the mountain of the house of the Lord. Does that make sense? I've not said it like this, but I believe you should get that, right? Moses had said, because we have said that Moses is the foundation of the doctrine of the prophets, right? So if the prophets are saying the last days, then it began somewhere, right? So Moses is the beginning of doctrine. It's the beginning of Christian doctrine. It's the beginning of Bible doctrine. So if Micah, for instance, would say in the last days, it means he was referring to an activity that shall be fulfilled at a particular time that was spoken of since the beginning. Does that make sense? Acts 3:21. Peter said he was spoken of by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Since the world began. Okay? So if Micah would say that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established, it means that is the activity that defines the last day. Does that make sense? That's the activity. It also means that that is what has been spoken of since the beginning. So Micah was referring to the time where this mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established. Amen. In the Hebrew, when it says in the top of the mountains, it also has another meaning. Amen. And that's, by the way, a heap of ruins. Okay? To help us also see that where people, for instance, where it says people shall flow onto it, where people don't want to go to, the Lord will do something and people will want to go. Are you there? Amen? Amen. So, it now means that the temple of the God of the heaven and earth. Will now be befitting for that place. That top of a mountain, that heap of ruins, as it were. Because the Lord will do something. Okay. So, like I've said, the mountain of the house of the Lord had been spoken of since the beginning. We have seen that over and over again in this series from Genesis chapter 2. All right. And the activity that characterizes the last day will be the establishment of that house or the mountain of the house. The activity that will characterize it again will be the exaltation. So it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. People shall flow unto it. Also, in the Hebrew, there is a connotation. How do I say this now? To what it means by people shall flow unto it. Okay? It suggests that that it is the temple. Okay? So, it was a heap of ruins before, but now people want to go there. Why? Because the temple is there. Does that make sense? Are you there? Okay, so let's move again. The word house, bayith, B-A-Y-I-T-H. It's a Hebrew word that means household, home, family, temple. In other words, the house of the Lord is the household of the Lord, is the home of the Lord, is the family of the Lord, is the temple of the Lord. Again, the household of the Lord, sorry, the house of the Lord is the household of the Lord, is the home of the Lord, is the family of the Lord, is the temple of the Lord. Amen? And if you consider what the word suggests in terms of the inside of a place or the inward place of a house, okay? It will also suggest that God is in there, or God works in there, or God is found in there. Are you following this? Now, in Psalms 23 and verse 6, David said by the Spirit of God, surely goodness and mercy, or surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, amen, all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And that was by the Spirit of God, like we said. And don't forget, David studied Moses. David is a student of Moses. David read Moses. The kings of Israel were to read the law of Moses. It was not to depart from their eyes. You know, that's what God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. He said the same to Solomon in 1 Kings. Okay? The king is supposed to continually read the law of Moses so that he would be able to do what God wants him to do. He would be able to function as the king that God wants or wills. Amen, amen. Okay. So, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's not just to be inside the house. Okay. Or to be, well, let me use to be, to abide in the house of the Lord, okay, in terms of just being inside, no. It also, I mean, we looked at this, it also means to keep the house. So, it's not just location, it also connotes service, ministry. Responsibility. Okay? He concluded the last teaching by saying, the house of the Lord, not just an abode. Okay? But a family where God is working by His Spirit to preserve His earth. To preserve His temple. So when David said, I will dwell, it didn't only mean I will be found in, yes, that would be a truth, that would be a fact, okay? But it didn't only mean that, that I will be found in the house of the Lord, but also I will be there as a priest to preserve, to keep, or to dress it as what's it called now? The words of Moses in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Amen, amen. So, using house for God's plan in the earth is not new. Moses began it, and a lot of other writers or prophets used it. Amen? Now let's begin from Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I'll read verse 1, verse 2, and then I'll read it down now. I just wanted to read briefly. Okay, verse 1 to 6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Are you following this? And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were spoken to be spoken after. Sorry, which were to be spoken after. Thank you, pardon. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Okay? So he referred to the plan of God as God's house. He referred to the people of God as God's house. So Moses serving the plan of God and the people of Israel, he said, Moses was faithful in all his house. And the writer of Hebrews will not just say house, okay, for just saying, no. He said so because Moses had begun that narrative. Hallelujah. So in exhorting, he says, whose house are we? We are his house if we put faith. That's the point. If we hold fast the confidence of our rejoicing, of the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. If we put faith, we are his house. In Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 12, and verse 1. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, or had said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Excuse me. Unto a land that I will show you. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless them, curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So, in Bible interpretation, when God says this to Abraham, it was then saying to Abraham that he wanted to bring Abraham into his own kindred. So there was a kindred of God waiting for Abraham. That was a promise God made to him. A country waiting for Abraham. A house. A land. A nation. Are you there? In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11, see what the writer of Hebrews says about Abraham. Hebrews, where are you? Okay, found you. Hebrews 11 and verse 10. For he looked... Okay, let's read from 9. Okay, from 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. 4, verse 10, are you there? He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So the writer of Hebrews helped us to see that when God said to Abraham, get thee out of your country, God meant, come out of that. I'm taking you to my own country, which will be your country. Are you following that? Okay. So you come out of your... You come out of yours. I have mine for you. Country, kindred, house, land, nation. Come out of yours, family. I have mine for you. Exodus. Exodus 25.
and verse 8.
And let them make me a sanctuary. Let them make me a sanctuary. A sanctuary is a sacred place. A sacred place. A holy place. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Can you see that? I want to be among them. Let them make me a sacred place.
Okay, that's a house.
Look at verse 9. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. Where will you find what God showed Moses? From the previous chapters.
Amen?
One of the places you will find, which you have found in this teaching, is chapter 2. Amen? Another place will be chapter 6 to chapter 8. Glory to God. So, God was referring to Garden of Eden here. According to the pattern, or according to all that I have showed thee. Referring to Garden of Eden, referring to the Ark of Noah. And a series of other illustrations and narratives. In Exodus chapter 29 and verse 45. Exodus 29:45. It says, and I will dwell among the children of Israel. And will be their God. If you look at it from 44. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons. To minister to me in the priest's office. Doesn't that sound like making Adam and putting him in the garden to dress and to keep it? Glory to God. And of course, by the time you look at the whole institution of the Levitical priesthood, the temple and the tabernacle in which they offer sacrifices, in which they serve God in. Remember what we read earlier in chapter 25. And according to all the instruments. So when you look at the temple, the tabernacle, and all that was going on in there, it was a pattern for what God wants to do in the earth. Or better still, what God is doing. In John chapter 14 from verse 2 to 3, Jesus said, I go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. He earlier said, there are many dwelling places in my Father's house. Glory to God. Exodus 25:8, let them make me a sacred place. Jesus said, in that place are many dwelling places. Glory to God. I go to prepare a place for you. In John chapter 2, John 2 and verse 16. See what Jesus said concerning the temple. That was yet standing then. Of course, he came in and then there were money changers and all of that. Drove them out. Verse 16, John 2. And said unto them, that sold those, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Glory to God. So the temple where God is to be found, worshipped, served, is called his house. Look at chapter 4, still in John. Amen? John chapter 4. Let's take it from 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God a spirit, and they that worship him was worship in spirit and in truth. So there was a place designated for worship. She called it this mountain. Jerusalem, a mountain as well. Okay? Remember, the woman was of Samaria, referred to the well as the one that was given by the father Jacob and all of that. So this narrative goes on and on in Bible. Amen? In Luke chapter 2, Luke 2 verse 49. Luke 2 49, let's see something there. Jesus said, How is it that ye sought me, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. Okay? I mean, you can call that my Father's house. In other words, what the Father is doing in the earth is to build a house for himself. By now, we have seen that many names were used for the same thing in the Bible. A building, a house, a land, a family, a temple, a sanctuary, a home, a household. Okay? So, God designed for the earth to be his house, and it is. But is working by spirit on the earth with men, his church, to make it his home. Okay? So the earth, God's house. The earth, or the heaven is his throne, the earth is his footstool. Remember the word footstool? Footrest. A place of rest. That's the earth. Okay? So, God is working by his spirit on the earth to make the earth his home. The earth is designed to be his house. The earth is his house. Praise God. So, he's replenishing his house, he's reclaiming his house, he's restoring his house to be his home. Matthew 5. I think I'll just round up shortly, but Matthew 5. See what Jesus said. From verse 13. He says, Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. 14. Ye are the light of the world. Now look at the next statement. It's descriptive in nature. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. I see that. A city that is set upon an hill cannot be hid. So Jesus refers to those who put faith in Christ. Don't forget, he had the Beatitudes. Okay? He had said, blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. Blessed. In other words, fortunate are those who are so and so. In other words, those who either do this or put faith in God according to his plan on the earth are blessed and fortunate. So he firstly said, ye are the salt of the earth, and you know that has a purpose. That's to replenish, to reclaim the earth. It says you are the light of the world. It then says a city that is set. Amen? A city that is set. So if we look at all the narratives and the parables used, take from Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 3. By the time we go to Hebrews 11, from verse 8 to 10, it says Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Glory to God. Okay? So that means you can call it city, you can call it land, according to scripture. You can call it house, you can call it temple, sanctuary, building. Amen? What else? Kindred, country, nation. Household. So Jesus was definite here. He was being descriptive of a reality in scripture. A city that is set. That is where God placed his church. That is God's plan. For those who belong to him. For those who are in his family. Amen. Right from Genesis chapter 2. The water out of Eden. Water the garden. And then parted into four rivers and then boom, flowed. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Remember the two things we spoke about for the mountain of the Lord's hill being established, that is erect, right? And exalted. One, visibility. Two, authority. A city that is set upon the hill cannot be hid. So it is there for a purpose. It is there to salt the earth. To bring savor to the earth. Of course, that connotes, like I said earlier, reclaiming and replenishing the earth. Light of the world. Connotes light, light. It's up there, distinct, to bring light to the earth. In Genesis 1, from verse 14 down to 15 or 16, Moses said that. Light in the firmament above, to give light to the earth. Fourteen and 15. Amen. So a city that is set, that's the house of God. It is set on the hill. It is set above. It is set on the mountaintop. It is exalted and established above. Another significance of being up there is to distinguish. Amen? It's to distinguish. Largely speaking, the weather conditions on the mountain are different from the regular space, right? It's usually more windy there, right? It's usually colder there. If the sun is out, it will be hotter. All right? So, to describe a different place. From where men reside or abide. Look at verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Are you there? Verse 16 now says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise God. Oh, I got to close now. 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy and chapter 2.
Second Timothy 2 and 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now there's a context here, and I'm not here for the context. The context is what he said after, some to honor and some to dishonor. Okay? If you go to Romans chapter 9 and 21, you see that again, you know, how the potter has the power over the clay to make some vessels unto honor and some unto dishonor. And all of that. Of course, this will be tied to the conduct of men. Okay? Their walk, their conduct in the faith, as it were. But I'm here for the first part, where it says, in a great house. Okay? In other words, using a reality, okay, to describe or teach a particular thing. In other words, when he says in a great house, it's a mentality from the scriptures. It's a thinking from it. It's not just speaking randomly. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. In other words, in a house, or a house is made up of many. Many for different purposes. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16, there were different lights. Greater light, lesser light. In Matthew chapter 5, that we just read, there was also something in the... Matthew 5. Let me see if I can quickly get that. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay? So in that house, there are different people and there are purposes to fulfill. And that will be good works. Okay? What the Father has planned for you to do. what purpose you are to fulfill in the house of God. When you're going about it, that will be good works. Then your Father which is in heaven will be glorified by men. As we close this teaching, like we have said before, we say again, the house of the Lord isn't just an abode. It is his family, his temple, his home, his household that he built for himself. And he yet has an ultimate plan and is thereby still working by his spirit through the men that have become his house to preserve the earth, the whole earth. To make the entire earth his temple. Habakkuk 2:14, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as waters cover the sea. The earth will become my temple. That's what God said to that through that prophet. Yes, the house of the Lord will be established, exalted, but God's agenda is for the men that have become his house to be taught his ways and then walk in his path so that more men can flow to it. Hallelujah. So that more men, as a matter of fact, all men shall flow to it. So in 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19, where Paul refers to believers as the temple of God. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, where Paul refers to believers as God's building, God's land or farmland. It should bring to your mind again. If you notice where Paul called the saints of God a building or a husbandry, he called himself a co-laborer with God. You notice that? 1 Corinthians 3:9. It's scriptural reasoning. Paul was simply saying, in that house, he has appointed me a priest, and I'm laboring together with him. Hallelujah. So, being the house of the Lord shouldn't only remind you of your identity. It should also remind you of your responsibility. It should also not... Sorry, let me say it this way. It should also make you remember that in the house of God, many men came together to form one house. That's God's desire. At best, you are a member. At best, you are a part. At best, you are a side. At best. And therefore, you constantly need the help of God and the help of men that God has positioned around you. That's the house of the Lord. Amen. So God doesn't expect you to reason like you are alone. As a matter of fact, when people are alone, that's when the devil comes for them. That mentality isn't right. There are certain things that, yes, it's your personal decision. Yes, there are things you have to do for yourself. But largely speaking, God's plan in the earth is a body of men, by a body of men, for a body of men. I mean, just like we said in the teaching we had, is it 2 Sundays ago? I am of God. It's the same mentality in scripture. Not just, I am of God, then all you think about is your identity. No. It should remind you of your purpose, of your responsibility, of your service to God as well. Same with his house. So when David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, it didn't only mean that I will be found, or the house of the Lord will become my abode. No. It also referred to priesthood. And today God has made us his priests, amen, on the earth. Revelation 1:6, Revelation 5:10, has made us his priests on the earth. And we must constantly remember that and serve him. Amen. Praise God. Lift your hands and thank him. I believe that's sufficient for this. And let me also say this to you, that Bible study helps the Bible to become more homely to you. It helps you to be able to study better. That's what it does. Apart from the information, the revelation that you get, apart from the help that it renders to you based on that subject, on a general level, it makes the Bible open to you. It makes the Bible a book that you can navigate more easily when reading. So I beg of you, take these things to heart to help you all around. Praise God. To help you all around. You know, there was a time where people threw away the identity of the man in Christ and were about service and all of that, and reward and so on and so forth. And there came a time where there was a need to remind the saints of God again, and God was the one working that out by his Spirit. And then we began to discover the identity of the man in Christ. But as it is, when we don't take the Bible as a whole, you know, we're left with problems. They now got to a time, or came a time, where people also now felt it was identity and that was it. Okay? Nothing more. No. But if we're going to embrace the whole counsel of God, okay? There's who I am, there's whose I am, there's what I have, then there's what I am to do. Glory to God. And every of God's truth, if you look at it holistically, always presents that truth to you. Amen? So when you look at it, for instance, say, I have the Spirit of God, it doesn't end in identity. What meeting was that? You say, when you say you have the Spirit of God, you must think, I remember which, believers meeting, right? 2021, okay. Think of yourself as, you know, a son of God, and you think of yourself as a minister of the gospel. Praise God. Are you sure it's 2021? 2022? Don't mislead the people of God. It's them, it's not me. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and amen. All right, let's take the offer.